Matthew chapter 12. The message today is the particulars of the judgment of God. We spoke about the day of judgment last week, and now the particulars of that judgment. I did not say the particulars of the day of judgment, because that would limit it, but I want to read several scriptures to show you how varied and how full this judgment is. So first of all, Matthew 12, verse 35. The good man, out of his good treasure, bringeth forth good things. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, yes, you shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, and these are true words, and God knows whether they are true or false, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, look at verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And let's look at chapter 25 while we're in Matthew. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them as a shepherd separated the sheep from the goats, one from another. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father. Verse 40. The king shall say, 41, to them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed. Well, who is this king? Who is this man? Turn to John chapter 5. Verse 22, John 5:22. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is Son of Man. Now, let's look in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and verse 11 of chapter 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Notice, the sentence is pronounced, but the sentence against an evil work is not carried out. It's not executed speedily, and this delay is interpreted by the sons of men in their hearts. They say that it means something different from what it actually does. Their heart is set in them fully to do evil. Now there are other scriptures, and let's read one more in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. And I will read you this portion again. The last conclusion that Ecclesiastes comes to when he's examined the whole matter. This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all things that your word tells us about your judgments. Our God, let us know the conception of man is that there is a final judgment, and that is all. But we have read some scriptures from the Word, and there are others that we could read as well, that give us the particulars of this judgment. And you have shown us that much more is involved, our Father, than simply we live and we die, and there is that day of judgment. We are thankful that we're able to understand in a small measure what your Son said. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Our God, you are Lord in heaven and you are Lord of earth. No man would discount the ability of you to do anything to help us on earth and would doubt your presence in heaven. We are thankful that you've illumined our eyes, and we know that you are Lord in heaven and in earth. And we desire to hear somewhat of the explanation about your being Lord of heaven and earth, about what you've given to your Son, because he is the Son of Man. So help us to understand the particulars of judgment this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us, our God, that we have some health and strength, and with that strength, we are here. So, let us not be disappointed. Help your servant, and help those who have come to be fed, your lambs and sheep. Let the truth of God go forth in this place today. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you had promised. And glorify the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If a person told me as so many people believe, and there are reasons to believe it, that there is only one judgment, a final judgment, because Christ spoke about in the day of judgment, and you read scriptures, and it seems to be that all goes along, and then we die, and suddenly we appear before God, and we are judged. And it's determined then whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell. It would seem that way. But what has happened is this, that God has told us that there are many details along the way, that there are judgments of God in this life, that there are judgments of God at the end of this age and at the beginning of another age, the millennial age, and that after that millennial age is the final judgment, what man thinks of as the day of judgment, doomsday. But if we look at life in that sense, we'll simply go along wondering, not understanding, thinking that anything that happens is not of God, and that all will be explained in the day of judgment, the last day. But I've read you so many scriptures telling us things that are going to take place during judgment, before the sheep and the goat judgment, and before the great white throne judgment. This is what the Lord tells us about people that go to the Lord's Supper and irreverently partake of the emblems, that behave themselves in a manner that is unworthy of God at the remembrance meeting. He speaks about if we judged ourselves, if we discerned ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we fail to do that, we are judged of God, that we might not be condemned with the world. So here is a remarkable thing, that when we come to remember the Savior, He is looking upon us, and He expects a certain preparation before we come. We have to be clean, and that is something that we have to do every time before we come to remember the Lord. We have to be clean and pure. You'll find that the high priest, even though you would think that he was pure, before he went into the presence of God, he had to wash his hands and feet at the laver, and when he came out from the presence of God to serve at the altar, he had to wash his hands and feet at the laver. God is telling us that He insists upon purity and cleanliness when we serve Him and also when we worship Him. And this is what God is telling us concerning the Lord's Supper. It says judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what shall be the outcome of the godless, those that knew not Christ as their Savior? So there are particulars about living for God that involve a life of obedience and purity, or else God's judgment comes upon us in this life, and it's going to come upon us also in the life to come. Let me tell you, having mentioned Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied about what they were giving to God, it says, the judgment of God fell, and both of them were stricken dead. And when Herod made a speech, and all of those that were listening flattered him and said, it is the voice of a God and not of a man, and he took that praise, it says that the angel of God smote him, and he died. And so God is looking at what happens in the world. And sometimes there are those that stand up and blasphemously deny God and discount the truth that He sets forth in His Word, and God does absolutely nothing. But at times, God sends His judgments in this life, and having judged them in this life, it is certain that they shall be judged in the next life as well. So keep this in mind, that God's judgments are now, and sometimes they are not now. Sometimes righteous men experience sufferings which are not the judgments of God, but they are sufferings such as Paul and Silas in prison at midnight, suffering because they had lived for God, and they are wicked men that commit sins, and they escape all punishment in this life. And it's not dealt out to them until the life to come. Listen to what the Lord tells through the lips of Abraham, that rich man who in this life, he was clothed in gay clothing, he fared sumptuously every day. And so he lived in mirth and splendor, ate everything he wanted. His life was one of continual pleasure, and no judgment of God ever fell. But it says, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. And so, a man should thank God when he lives a sinful life and God's judgment falls, because maybe it will bring him to his senses. But this rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. And listen to what Abraham told him. He said, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things. And this is what I tell sinners who do not want Christ as Savior. I say, live life to the full. Squeeze every pleasure you can out of life down here. Because the moment you die without Christ, you shall lift up your eyes in torment. And some laugh and say, well, I will take your advice, because they do not believe that there is any life after death, and there is an answering for all that they've done. That is why I read to you in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Listen to it again. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. I see. A sentence against an evil work has been passed, but the sentence is not executed speedily. And what happens is this, and it is so sad, there are some drug dealers who are arrested, and they are taken before the judge, and the judge releases them on bail, and while they are out on bail, they are selling more drugs. They continue in their sin. Now, the same thing happens because God in Ecclesiastes 8 has already passed sentence on judgment. It says every work is going to be brought under the scrutiny of God, and every work is going to be judged. God has made that decree. He has given that sentence. But because man, as it were, is out on bail, even though God has told him what shall ultimately happen to him, he lets him go free on earth. And because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, you see, it does not happen as in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. When they lied, the judgment of God fell immediately. But the judgment of God has been pronounced upon these who do evil, but it is not executed speedily. It says, therefore, the heart of the Son of Man is set in them fully to do evil. And so, since they sin, and they have not heard God pronounce the judgment, and so they say, there is no God. Where is this God that is going to deal with me according to my sin? And they take his name in vain, and they sin yet more. And so they say, there is no God, and there is no judgment to come. But it says, yet a very little while, and he that cometh will come, and will not tarry. And yet a very little while, the judgment has been pronounced, it will be executed, it will not tarry. And then, just as that rich man in hell lifted up his eyes in torment, wondering, what has happened? he discovers what has happened, that he has failed to repent and the judgment of God has fallen, and that God has allowed him to have all his good things in this life. Now, let me give you the contrast. This is what the Lord Jesus tells us in Luke's Gospel, and it's the only place he tells us this. He says, when you do good in the world, when you have a feast at your home, invite those that have nothing to eat, nothing that they can give you in return. Invite those that are destitute. And it says they can give you nothing in return, and so you are not going to get any benefit from them in this life. It said, but you will be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. I see. And so there are some things that I do, and I see absolutely no evidence of any reward in this life for doing those good things. But Christ assures us, you shall be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Now, notice, at last, the resurrection of the just, yes, there is a resurrection of the just, and there is a resurrection of the unjust as well. And those two resurrections are separated by 1,000 years. And the last resurrection, the resurrection of the unjust, the evil, is that which I read to you from Revelation chapter 20. That's the great white throne judgment. But I must tell you this, that you must understand that though that is the ultimate judgment, when Christ comes back to establish his kingdom, there are going to be men and women living on earth. There are going to be nations on earth. And God has determined that some of those nations are righteous and some of those nations are wicked. The nations are made up of individuals, but God looks at them as nations composed of individuals. And there will not be any individuals in the righteous nation, and there will not be any individual in the unrighteous nation that is out of place. The Lord is able to pick out from each nation, whether it's Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan or the United States or Britain or whatever country it is, in that coming day, if they are living when Christ comes back, it says he sets the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. Now, this is why, before the great white throne judgment, those who are living when Christ comes, not those who have died and they are waiting for the resurrection of judgment, but since they are living when Christ comes back, something has to be done with them. And those living ones are set on the right hand by Christ the judge, are set on the left hand, goats on the left, sheep on the right hand, and then pronouncement is made. Listen. To the sheep, he speaks these words first. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To think that Christ is going to speak those words to some who are living, and these are distinct from those that are in the church that are going to be caught up to meet him in the air, but he is going to speak to those living nations that are distinct from the church. He's going to say to them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then there are living sinners who had a chance to repent, but did not repent. And this is what he's going to say to them. Depart you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so for that reason, those who are in their living bodies shall be judged and shall go to their place of judgment in that body that was alive when Christ came back. A terrible thought. It says concerning two others that fight against Christ. It says the beast and the false prophet were cast alive into the lake of fire. And so these are some of the particulars of the judgment of God that God is telling us about, and he would have us to understand so that we go not through life trying to understand it but not able to understand and saying we cannot understand. To a degree that is true for this reason. The judgment of God is completely arbitrary, and it is according to what pleases God. And this is what it says in Psalm 135. It says, God has done what he pleases in heaven, on earth, in the sea, and underneath. Listen to that. God has done what he pleases in heaven, and earth, in the sea, and underneath. Every physical thing that exists in the world, it exists the way that God wants it to exist, and he's done as he pleases. And in like manner, God in heaven is controlling his judgments that fall upon men. He arbitrarily, he does as it pleases him by having this man to be judged and this man to escape judgment in this world. He has done as he pleases. But since it happens and you are not able to understand it, so often we sit in judgment upon God. And we say, why, Lord, does this sinner get away with all his sins? And here I've tried to sacrificially live for you, and it seems like I experience chastisements every day. The good men are suffering, and the evil men escape punishment. God has done as it pleases. But listen to this. Abraham knew it, and you have to know it. When Abraham is praying for the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah, he pleads with God. He says, if there is this number of men in it that are righteous, will you spare it? You would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Can you remember those words? The judge of all the earth shall do right. And therefore, we see a sinner escaping judgment. The judge of all the earth is done right. And we see good men suffering judgment, not his judgment, but the judgment and the hatred of men at their hands. And we question, has the judge of all the earth done right? Abraham says, the judge of all the earth shall do right. And for that reason, I tell you that God does what he pleases, and the righteous judgment of God is never in the wrong. This is what it says. It says, is God unrighteous who judgeth with wrath? God forbid. How then should God judge the world? Think of what it says. When God judges with wrath, is there unrighteousness with God? It says, God forbid. If there is unrighteousness with God, how shall God judge the world? This very day, there are judges who, because of their predispositions and because of bribes and because of alliances, they give heavier sentences or lesser sentences. They cause the jury to make a wrong decision. All of these judges of the earth do not always do right. They do wrong. At times it's an accident, but at times it's willful. But the judge of all the earth always does right. But we are not able to understand it. Listen to this. It says in Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Did you hear that? How unsearchable are his judgments. If his judgments are unsearchable, then you can't search them out, and his ways past tracing out. And for that reason, I see things happening in the world, and I say, oh, God, How can this be? And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the sinner, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, their heart is fully set to do evil. But the judgment of God has been promised to fall upon them, and the judgment will come when God pleases. And we have to accept this, and we have to go by that judgment. Now, if this is so, we're not able to say to God, why have you dealt with this man in that manner? And why have you let that man escape judgment? To think that some Christians presume to speak to God that way. Or if not, that thought is in their heart turning round and round. Even the disciples on the occasion of our Savior speaking to that woman in John chapter 4, that woman who had had five husbands and the one she was now living with was not her husband. The Lord Jesus was all alone sitting at the well of Samaria, and he was talking to that woman. And when the disciples came up, they wondered why he was talking to that woman. Yet not one of them said, what seekest thou? What is your intention in talking to that woman? They wondered about it, but they dare not think such a thought against the Savior. And yet they wondered. Now in like manner, we see the judgments of God being meted out in the world and being withheld in the world, but we dare not say, what are you doing? What is your idea in causing these things to happen and withholding your deliverance from your people in this world? What is your idea? We dare not think that, and we dare not say that, because the judge of all the earth does right, and we accept that by faith. The Lord Jesus, when everything seems to be going wrong, uttered these words. Listen to them, and make them a part of your philosophy of life. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. If God is Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, then things in heaven are done according to the Lord of heaven. And if things are done on earth, they are done according to the Lord of earth. And the Lord Jesus says, you are Lord of heaven and of earth. And he is the Lord that cannot be criticized, though we fail to comprehend what he does. Listen. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath first been his counselor? Or who can say, I've given to you, and it will be given to him again? You cannot say that. For of him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. The judge of all the earth does right. He does not answer to you. And we cannot sit in judgment upon God. We accept it by faith. Now, this is what is so interesting. Some of the particulars when men stand before God is this, that they're going to be given a chance to defend themselves. There are so many clever individuals in this world. They think that they're smart with their talk, and they think that when they stand before God, they're going to talk their way into heaven. Let me give you the illustration that our Savior gives in that parable about this wedding feast to which men were invited. And in brief, at the last, when all the guests came in dressed in the proper wedding garment, another man presumed to come in without a wedding garment. And when the king came in, immediately his eye fell upon that man that had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? And it says, he was speechless. He had nothing to say. He had absolutely no defense. How interesting. You see, some think that when they stand before God with their strong arguments, They're going to plead their goodness. They're going to plead how God has caused them to be in such an environment and to be mistreated. And because of those things, you have to let me into heaven. When God asks a question, do you know why you're going to hell? The answer will be, yes, we do know. And yet, do you have any reason that I should let you into heaven? They're going to be speechless. That's the terrible thing. And one other thing, and this is frightening. It says, in the day of judgment, the men of Nineveh shall stand up and bear witness against all of you who have heard my son's words. In the coming days, you who think you should get into heaven, you're going to have men of the past to stand up, and they will witness against you. You will say, but you are sinners just as I am. But they will say, yes, but we are sinners who repented. We heard the word of God, and we repented at the word of God. And it says that the queen of the south shall stand up in the judgment and shall bear witness and condemn those who did not repent at the preaching of Jesus, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And our Savior says, a greater than Solomon is here. And so these are particulars about the judgment of God. And the judgment of God is right, and the judge of all the earth shall do right. So take these things to heart, and as it says in Ecclesiastes, hear the end of the matter, fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that in the coming day we shall understand. We confess that in this day we do not understand. Our God, we would rise up and with our words of wisdom condemn you for the way that you allow things to happen. And at the same time, the rewards that you give to wicked sinners, our God, we cannot understand. But we remember that your Son spoke about people, and he said concerning them, they have received their reward. And we remember what Abraham said, Son, in the world you received your good things. So our Father, we are thankful that you are good to us, and indeed we have received good things in this world. But at the same time, our God, we are so thankful that having received good things in this world, the fullness of the good things we shall receive in the next world. And we shall hear similar words, and we shall receive a similar reward as those sheep on the right hand of thy Son. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We are thankful that there is a kingdom, and we are thankful that we who have trusted in Christ and the merits providing us with salvation, we shall enter into that kingdom, and we shall enjoy its blessedness. We thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.